Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 100 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is October 6th, and I am Summer. You can find me on everywhere, basically, as Summer Yarns, S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. And after 100 episodes, you would think that I wouldn't stumble over that every time.
Well, I'm giggling because I'm like, as you said that, I'm like, should I had those, like...
I was actually thinking about those things
that you blow at New Year's and some confetti.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Too late.
Earlier. Yeah, too late.
Plus, it is annoying when there's really loud sounds all of a sudden when you're wearing headphones. That's why I was making the face. Hi, I'm Katie. I go by Katie B, K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E on Ravelry. Katie B, K-T on Instagram. I did lock down my Instagram account. You're welcome to friend me. If I can tell that you're a knitter and not spam, then I will friend you. I was just getting a ton of spam, and I don't know what that all involves. And so.
I am considering doing the same, too. So until the spam slows down. I do religiously report them, and I've gotten more than a handful of notifications that they were removed. I've just been blocking.
I haven't been reporting.
I reported as spam, and it's been working. But I'm sure it's not someone
like whack-a-mole.
And it's not someone sitting at a computer making these accounts. It's a bot. So I don't know. It just makes me feel better when I get a notification that one was taken down.
If you're going to be spam, at least have good grammar. So you can fool me.
And don't use a profile picture that's Paul Hollywood from the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah. So yeah, all those knitting ones, and then like random hot old guys. Just like, whatever. No, that's okay.
Anyway, this is episode 100. We had planned to do something more special for this episode,
but we forgot,
and it's just been so busy. It's been longer than we had planned, since we recorded, and it's work has been really busy, and I've just been really tired when I get home, and I haven't really wanted to think about it.
It's still hot out, and
it's October, early October. We haven't had our first cold front yet. Hopefully, that was coming at the end of the week.
Yeah,
but even that is, it'll get down into the 60s at night, and it'll still be 80s during the day. But it feels like fall. It's just hot. It's like there's something in the air, and even work yesterday, there was a nice breeze, and it wasn't ridiculous. It feels like fall. It just doesn't. It's just hot. I mean, it's Houston, so.
Well, you freeze all day, so.
I think that's part of it, too.
The time you spend standing on the street corner, you thaw out, and then you get on the bus, and you don't know if it's going to be a meat locker or not.
Yeah. We are going to pepper in some of the questions that were in the Knit Life survey that came out early. I guess it was earlier this year. Maybe it was late last year.
I think it's been
year.
Floating around for a while.
Yeah. We had talked about doing that for a while, and we never got around to it. So between segments, we're going to pepper in a couple of questions. And then if I can convince him, I might add a bonus episode of interviewing my husband, kind of like Suburban Stitcher and Yarn Hoarder did with their husbands. I think it would be a lot of fun. I think Jimmy would make it a lot of fun. So it's a possibility. Can't guarantee. Like I said, things have been busy, and he's been busy too, so we'll see how that goes. So let's talk about some knitting. Do you want to go first?
I have it open. Okay. I don't have a whole lot. You want to do FOs, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I finished a corner-to-corner crocheted blanket. It was a baby blanket. I don't remember. It was like 36 by 36 or something like that. For a friend of ours at work, Erin, I used, Impeccable Worsted, which is a name brand from Michaels, in a gray. And then I used two shades of a darker, like, cranberry red. And then two shades of, blue, a teal, and then a darker, and, like, an aqua, and then a dark teal.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. So that's all I have as a finished object.
I actually don't have a whole lot. I only have one knitted item with me. I have the Slippery, which is a hat by Sarah Dupuis, I think. D-U-P-U-I-S. It's using Madeline Tosh Vintage Worsted in the Augustus Goop colorway, which is a Willy Wonka colorway. And it is kind of a, well, like emerald green with gray in it. It's a really simple pattern. It's just, it's got slip stitches that on later rows you do a passover, whatever slip stitch passover. I don't know what the actual term is. But it makes it look ribbed with these like horizontal lines going across it. It's really cute. It's very stretchy. I like it a lot. And then I finished a dishcloth, which is the Wavy Lines dishcloth that has been used already, so I did not bring that in. I used Sugar and Cream and might have been Pumpkins. No, I don't know what the colorway was. It was kind of a creamsicle. Actually, it might have been creamsicle. It was kind of oranges and creams or like light yellows. It was a crocheted pattern with slip stitches and half double crochets. I think I did that as part of the Down Cellar Studio Pigskin Party. The September interception had to involve slip stitches. So I did that really quick for that. And then the other one was another. There are babies out the wazoo at work. There are 5 pregnant women at work right now, all due within a month of each other. So we had 2 baby showers this week. The first one, I decided kind of last minute to knit a hat, and I did a baby barley on the way. We drove to Austin last week, so on the drive there, and then the next morning I finished it up. But I used Twisted Owl Fiber Arts worsted in the Cosmos colorway, which is kind of a cream base with speckles of yellow and orange and blue. It was actually very fall looking. And then for the brim, I used Twisted Owl Fiber Arts DK in, it was an orange, and I don't remember the colorway, but it was a mini skein that I had gotten when I bought the yarn at Stitches a couple of years ago. Abby threw in some mini skeins for me that matched it, so this was one of those. And it was orange. It was a very, if you are from Texas, it was a very University of Texas, UT Longhorn color, very orange. Did not ask if they were Aggie fans, Texas A&M, I don't know. But she seemed to like it. She said it was cute, so there was no alma mater
offense
there. And then I talked about it last week, but for the other baby shower, I knit the baby surprise jacket by Elizabeth Zimmerman. I cannot speak. But I had finished it the last time, but I added buttons the night before, and I found these adorable sloth buttons at Joann that matched it perfect and were just, it was the perfect button for this sweater. It was so adorable. So that is all my knitting finished objects. I do have 2 spinning FOs. So I have the created by LCB in Christmas time. This is a BFL nylon. This will be socks. It's traditional Christmas colors, kind of a cranberry red and a brighter red and various shades of gray, greens. Actually, there is a little bit of gray in there, but these will, I think it will stripe up. It is barber pole-y, but I did, I stripped it into little strips, but I did the same color,
progression,
I guess that's the right word, all the way through on both bobbins. And then actually, no, this one's a 3-ply. I did a 3-ply that way, but it is barber pole-y. This is only the 2nd 3-ply I've ever done, and the other ones I've done I was a newer spinner, and they were a little too stiff. This is actually a really nice 3-ply. I'm really happy with it. I've got 368 yards. It'll be perfectly fine for my little feet. So that'll be cast on when I get some of the socks off the needles, which I'll talk about in the next segment. But, and then the other one is Hobbledy Hoy Lemonade Stand. They were Batlings, and they had organic Polworth, bamboo, tinsel, sari silk, and sparkle in them. It's just a little bit of sparkle. The sari silk is a little flex of like the red and the green. Okay.
Makes it look nice tweedy almost.
Yeah, it is tweedy, and it's bulk, and it's I would say it's a bulky. I got 200 yards, so I can, I don't know what I'll do with this. This is, it's very yellow with some kind of blue green in there.
Stripe it.
Yeah. Well, I could stripe it, except I don't know that I have anything that's close to this weight, but, I could not wear this by itself. I mean, it's too yellow for me, but it might make nice mitts, or might be able to get away with a hat, or it could become a gift. But it is.
That's when you stripe it with something, yeah, like a nice gray or a blue, or
Striping it with something this blue. Maybe I'll look for some fiber. Actually, maybe I'll look for some Hobbledy Hoy Batlings that are that same color. I bet I can find something, because that. I could easily spin it the same weight, I think. So that's all my FOs. So let's do a question.
Okay. I put my reading glasses on because I'm old. Okay. Well, there's 25 questions. So pick a number.
Let's go with number
12. What is your favorite kind of project to make?
Probably socks, just because I make a lot of them. It's not necessarily, I don't like doing the heels, but they are super portable. It's an easy use of sock yarn. Self-striping is a lot of fun to work with, just based on the number of projects. That are hats, because hats are quick. And yeah,
I miss making hats.
We don't need them anymore, but
well, they're just portable and easy, but I'm not ready to purl yet.
No.
At this point I'm kind of like, let's make it the year of no purl, because it's already October.
Yes.
I've only purled a handful of times, and that was on that Bankhead hat, because at that point I'd done the ribbing as a thrower. Mm-hmm. So just a few random pearls. So I haven't pearled at all this year.
What is your favorite type of project to work on?
Probably hats or shawls.
Mm-hmm. I do like shawls too. Yeah, I always have a shawl on the needle. So
or granny squares. Yeah. Granny squares.
You want to do another one, or?
Sure.
Okay.
Pick another number.
7.
What is your favorite weight of yarn to work with?
Almost certainly fingering. Just based on almost all of my projects are fingering. It's my favorite yarn to buy, and it's what I have the most of, so I mean, by default. Actually, well, it's not the favorite weight, but my favorite yarn to work with is my hand spun. Yeah. What about you?
Well, I have a huge hoard of, like, most weights other than lace. Right now, it's easier on my hands to use worsted.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for me to keep tension since I'm still working out the ergonomics. I don't mind fingering. It just, it's a process.
Yeah.
I like all yarn.
other than
lace.
I don't like working with, like, that's not the weight, but the type of it. I don't like dishcloth cotton very much. I don't mind knitting with cotton. I don't like the dish. I can't say that today. Dishcloth cotton. But. Okay. Let's go into whips. And do you want to start?
Oh, crap. Okay, yeah, sorry. I just closed my notes. So I want to make all the things, even though I mentally am not in the mood to do it.
So you're imagining?
Kind of, yeah. I did start another In the Light by Casey mm-hmm. DeCrozier, who's Tangerine Designs. So this one's going to be blue and purples, because I'm in a blue-purple phase right now. So I'm almost through the first whole solid section. This is an asymmetric triangle. You can knit it with or without the fringe, mm-hmm. where you pull out, you drop stitches, and that makes the fringe. So I'm using Plucky Knitter in Primo Fingering in a blue called Voices Carry. So it's a pretty like navy blue with teal undertones. Mm-hmm. The middle color is a variegated called Julia Gulia. So it's got the same or very similar blue. And then it's got a purple, mm-hmm. which will be the purple at the other end, which is called Pinky Swear. Mm-hmm. Or it's in that same vein.
So when you're holding two of them together, are you pulling from both ends? Or?
Well, I had enough yarn that I'm using two skeins.
Oh, okay.
But when I made the other one, I split the ball in half.
Oh, okay.
Because it does take a... I'm not going to measure gauge and do math, so I'm like, I had enough yarn, so I just wound it, and then mm-hmm. I didn't have to fuss with splitting it and it being short or...
Right.
Excuse me. So that is that. I've been doing a row or two a day on my Yauza Weight Shawl. That's at work. Mm-hmm. And I'm using Petulant, I think. It's purples and black or whatever. And then, I don't know if I had started this the last time you were here.
I don't think you had.
This is, my Bargello planner kit from...
Maybe you had.
I may have.
I think maybe you had gotten it. I don't think you had started it.
Yeah. So my Bargello planner kit from Brooklyn Craft Company. They're from Brooklyn, New York. So I follow them on Instagram and stuff like that. And so like it's kind of like...
Western looking.
No, it's rainbowy. It'll be more rainbowy once you get it all, because you're just seeing the reds and the yellows.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So there'll be some blues there, and then you trim it up and whip the edges, and then it fits in around the glass. So, but it kind of hurts my hands a little bit, because you're pushing the needle through the grid.
Yeah.
So... but I think it's pretty. And for me, it's easy because it's easy to follow, where you get some of these more complicated patterns if you, mm-hmm. you know, Google Bargello. And, like, I don't know that I... trying to read a chart is kind of complicated, where mm-hmm. this is... Everything is the same width unless you get to the very bottom.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So you're going five squares, if that makes sense, so... But I like it. I think it's pretty.
I do too.
It'll be pretty when I get it all done.
Yeah.
I haven't worked on it in a couple days. I think that's all I got for active things I've done.
I kept thinking of things that I had worked on. I only included things that I can remember having worked on since the last episode. But it's apparently more than I remember. The first thing, and I had it in my bag, and I had it with my stuff to bring, but I actually forgot to bring it, is my Separate Ways sweater. It's a pattern by Hohe Locatelli, and I'm using Stunning String Studios Smashing Sock in Rusty Gate, which is kind of a chocolatey brown, Spicy Mustard, which is it's kind of a tan, yellowish tan color, and Aqua Ice, which is a sky blue turquoisey color, and then Dutch Coral, which is a pink. And I've actually made a lot of progress on it, so I'm kind of bummed that I forgot to bring it. Not that you can see it, but anyway.
Yeah.
I have finished the horizontal stripes, and I finished the bottom ribbing, And I have picked up, so this, okay, if you haven't seen this sweater and you don't remember from my description before, it is mostly horizontal stripes, but then it has a panel on the left side of vertical stripes. And to do that, you pick up along all the way along the edge from the front down to the back and then knit a series of stripes. And I have picked up the stitches and I'm two rows away from finishing the first color on there, which is the pink. Picking those stitches up was a real pain. I ripped back multiple times because I would not have enough stitches or I would have too many stitches.
Yeah.
Obviously, my row gauge was off a little bit because I didn't need it. Well, I picked up as many stitches, but my ratio of picking up was not what it should be. Or at least in parts of it, it wasn't. So, got it done. And now it's going swimmingly. And then once I get to the end of that, we'll Kitchener those together and leaving a hole, like an armhole. And then after that, I have the sleeves and the neckband. And that's it. So, it's moving really quickly. I am thrilled with it. I haven't been monogamously knitting, but I have been limiting my evening knitting to just a couple of things. So there is that. And then at work, I am working on Hermione's Everyday Socks, which is a free pattern by Erica Luter. I'm using Atomic Fiber Company in the Hocus Pocus colorway, which is a Halloween colorway. It's mostly orange and black with some flecks of pink and green. I think that's all. I have them at work, so I don't have them with me to look at. I'm almost done with these. I finished the first one, realized that it was way too big for my foot, took it upstairs to work, and had various people try on my sock to see if it would fit them because I was willing to give it to anybody rather than rip it out. Everybody apparently has little feet like me. Or except close me. To. And, yeah, Katie's were too big, and everyone else's were bigger than mine, but they were too. Still, it was the biggest issue is that it was too wide, but it was too long. It was probably more long. Well, my husband can fit in it, and he wears a size 11 men's. Now, so these socks are going to my husband. He claims they fit. I think they're too small for him, but if he likes the way they fit and he's willing to wear them, then I'm going to give it to him. So I finished the first one. I'm almost done with the second one. I just need to do the ribbing at the top because it is toe up. So I finished. I was doing our cybersecurity training yesterday and knitting all my socks. So I got to the ribbing, and that's all. So they'll be done this week. So he'll get them before Halloween. That's good. Maybe it'll be cool enough for him to wear them sometime before Halloween. Okay, so let's see. Now we can... I feel like Hermione and her magic bag. But I have... Before I was working on the Hermione Everyday Socks at work. I don't remember why I switched them out. I had a reason, but I don't remember now. I was working on Keepsies, which is a hat pattern by Hunter Hammerson. I'm using Undead Yarn in the Lustre colorway. And I'm a good ways done with this. Right now, it's twisted rib at the bottom, and then it's just stockinette for several inches. I don't remember how. It's like 7.5, I think, before I need to bind off. And I talked about this one last time. It's stockinette, and then the way you seam it makes it kind of folded, kind of like a paper bag at the top. It will, when I have it finished, it will make a whole lot more sense. But I really love the way the yarn finally found a happy, happy project for it. It's really nice in stockinette. So this is, I didn't mention, well, yes, I did. It's Undead Yarn in Lustre, which was the show colorway for Houston Fiber Fest this year. And it's got, it's a white base with turquoise and orange and some little black specks, or it's black to orange, I mean black to like really dark brown. I really like it. That'll be a fun hat. Then I don't have I have a hoe. It's I finished one of my knitted heart socks. I'm doing my knitted heart vanilla socks using Rock and String Creation in the Appalachian Autumn colorway. I don't, no one's going to remember this, but I bought this yarn at End of the Wool 2 years ago, and I actually started a pair of socks with them while we were there, and I had various shenanigans with these. Various knitting attacks moments.
Didn't you like knit a whole sock and then rip it out or something?
I knit the sock and put in the heel and then realized I have an OMG heel, and there are directions for toe up and cuff down, and I had put the wrong heel in, so I ripped back. And then when I if I remember correctly, after I finished them, it didn't fit me very well. I don't remember exactly what the problem was, but it wasn't worth making another one. So it sat for 2 years, well, a year and a half probably. And I wanted autumn socks, so I ripped it completely out, washed the yarn and let it hang so it was no longer ramen yarn. And I just made a little shorty sock. And I will make the second one, but it is on hold right now because I started another pair of socks, which is the Payday socks. I actually made this pattern earlier this year, and I liked it again. But I mean, I liked it enough to make it again. But a coworker of ours she's my former boss, but now just a coworker, is turning 50. In November, which is just insane. It does not seem 50. I would not.
No.
But she is always talking about how she doesn't have any knitted socks. I think she's mostly kidding, but I think she would really like a pair of socks. So I decided that, you know, for her 50th birthday, I would make her a pair of socks. So I've actually had the idea of making her socks for a while, kind of shopped. Like a DFW, I was shopping for yarn for her, and I just didn't find anything that just really spoke to me. I mean, I was looking for colorway names that would, you know, she's a Harry Potter fangirl, she's a, you know, Star Wars fangirl, these types of things, bookworm, but nothing just, you know, I looked at all of the Harry Potter stripe stuff, and I think ultimately maybe it was a little more expensive than I wanted to spend for a pair of socks that, while I think she will appreciate them, I wasn't sure she was going to appreciate the mustache prices. So I decided that I probably had something at home. And I'm sure I do have stuff at home that I could have found and knit with. But I was on, I've seen it on Instagram and Facebook, Destination Yarns came out with a Pakistan line of yarn, and this friend was born in Pakistan, so I ended up buying a colorway called Karachi, which is absolutely beautiful. It's got pinks and purples and oranges and yellows and turquoise and greens. It's just a whole bunch of stuff, and it just knits up just really nice. And it's like, I really like the base. It's a thicker. It's either a 4, or I think it actually may be an 8-ply fingering. So
it'll wear well.
But it's a low twist, so it doesn't have. I mean, it isn't like the bumpy fingering. I don't know how, you know, if you knit with fingering, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a smooth fingering yarn. It's similar to like Unwind's Hitchhiker sock, or a lot of the other bases, but it's just a little bit thicker, and the way it's knitting up, I just really enjoy it. And the pattern is very potato chippy, and it's very quick. So that is what I'm working on for that. So once I get done with those, I'll pick up the autumn ones again, or, you know, maybe they'll wait until next fall to finish the second one. But let's see what else. Like I was saying, I didn't have much, and then all of a sudden I realized that I had a whole lot more. I am not going to get political, but Little Skane and the Big Bull is having a Sock the Vote knit along, and a couple of weeks ago, when they launched the knit along, the pattern that comes with the kit is called Swing Left, and it's by Megan Williams, and it was free for a day because she wanted the cowl to be accessible to anyone regardless of income level. So I snapped it up, and I started it and am working on it using Panorama Fiber Arts in the Heart of Texas colorway, which is very patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
It's white with red, white, and blue, but it's more muted than like flag colors. It's kind of a little washed out.
It's a lot more white than red and blue.
Yeah. It's not an and even I think mix there's a little bit of gray in there. This was the Harvey colorway she did last year. It benefited rescue workers, I believe. I really like the pattern. It is an actual patterned sock with traveling stitches that all will swing left. And I'm really enjoying working on this. I am working on, it's toe up with a gusset, and so I am in the middle of, a little more than in the middle of working on the gusset part. And I don't know how tall I'll make them. I kind of wanted to have them done before the election day, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Not with that and Simon's socks. No.
And those payday socks, that needs to be gifted at the end of November. So I need to stay the course on those. Let's see. What else? Only a couple more things. And I actually, I cast these on, worked on them a little bit, and then other things just took precedence. But I cast on the Knot Garden Shawl by Very Busy Monkey. I'm using Shalimar Breathless in the Gunmetal colorway. And I think that's in this one. And actually, I made quite a bit of progress on this, considering I worked on it maybe for a week. But it is... Shalimar Breathless is Merino Cashmere. And it has... I think it's a crescent shawl. I can't remember what the ultimate shape is going to be. But it's three panels. The side panels are stockinette. And then the middle panel has this cable, kind of a diamond cable pattern. And it's also fairly potato chippy when I work on it. But Breathless is a fingering weight, but it's more sport. Like, I would consider that a sport weight. But it's a pretty quick sweater. I mean, shawl, I think, once I actually start working on it exclusively. And then I also cast on the Water Dance shawl, which is a pattern by Julia Swart. And I'm using Yarn Carnival. I'm not sure. The colorway, I think, is Paradigm Shift. I can't tell. To me, that looks like that would be
the base, because I've got a whole bunch of Paradigm.
Oh, okay. I can tell, but base. It doesn't have a colorway. It's blues and purples, and it's a really interesting dye technique. I don't know how to explain it. It's like it's almost speckled, but it is more solid than speckled. Almost like a heathered look.
It's like it's got white spots
on it. Yeah. It's really interesting. It was horrible to wind, thus it's in a ball instead of a cake.
So that was skeined up?
Yeah.
It wasn't in a cake?
It was skeined up, and it was... I don't know if it was me or if it was how it was it was skeined, but there was a loop in it. Like it may have just been that when I put it on the Swift, I
twisted back on itself.
But it was a pain. But this has a stockinette panel, and then in the middle is like a feather and fan pattern, and it's really pretty. This yarn took my breath away it was at Houston Fiber Festival last year, maybe.
2017.
And I saw it. She had multiple colorways.
Was she even at this one?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, she was, but it was a smaller... it's Yarn Carnival or is it a Vice?
This is Vice.
Oh.
You said Yarn Carnival.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm looking at it. Yeah, this is Vice, not Yarn Carnival. Yeah. I don't think she was at Fyberfest. I mean, I don't think so. Unless there might have been some in the booth.
Yeah. But I don't know. Well, I'm not in her group anymore, really, so I don't know how much she's dying.
Right. I haven't heard mention of Vice in a while, so I don't know if she's still dying. But it is really pretty. Took my breath away. One of these days I'll get back to it. But I right now it's a sock thing. So those are the socks that I mentioned, but I've also got a pair of Unwind Yarn Company.
I read the tag.
Oh, thanks. And some Reggie Arnie and Carlos. I think I might have one other pair on the needles too that are just hanging out somewhere. Maybe not. Maybe those are the only other two. I want to know
where all my mystery needles are, because I, to keep track of my needles, I keep the plastic, because I have the Addies, so they come in this the plastic sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
So I just keep that. And I'm like, I have all these empty plastic sleeves, and I'm like, I don't have that many whips. Where are all my needles?
Yeah, I
really don't know where all my needles are. I did frog something the other day. I'm like, here's 75 points.
I
started that 4 years ago. I'm like, let's frog that.
I don't know that I have anything that I would want to frog right now. That's another pigskin party interception is 75 points if you, imaginary points, if you frog something. But I'm pretty happy with what's on my needles with. The big thing, I think, sometime last year, I actually went through and did frog a lot of really old stuff. Spinning, I have, I'm doing Into the World Odds and Ends, which is just lots of bits of various different fibers, little bumps. I am about halfway, divided it into two bags and did half on one bobbin, and I've done one of the bumps on another bobbin. That's the word I'm looking for. Anyway, and that's been a lot of fun. The colors are, I think they're going to work well together. It'll be a fun skein to see. That's it. That's all of my works in progress. Let's do another question.
Let me not close it. Did I close it? I must have closed it. Oh, sorry. I have it. Let me just...
No dead time.
Pick a number.
Let's go with 15.
15. What is your dream knitting retreat or fiber festival to attend?
You know, I'd really like to go to Edinburgh one day. I've never been to Europe.
I'm sure Marcia would go with us.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, we have a former coworker who is married to a Scotsman. More realistically, I'd like to go to Rhinebeck sometime. But you know, I was watching Fat Squirrel this week actually, and she was talking about, you know, people who get sad or whatever that they can't go to Rhinebeck, and she said, you know, it's not for everyone. If you don't like crowds, you know, maybe it's not the, you know, maybe you're not missing that much,
right?
And honestly, that is my concern, is that I would go, you know, go all that way and then be completely overwhelmed by the crowds. I'd really kind of like to go with my husband, and I don't think he would deal well with the crowds. So I don't know. As far as retreat, honestly, I really like the Into the Wall retreat. It's on a lake. It's in the woods. It's small. It's not overwhelming. It's pretty darn perfect. One of these days, I'll get back. What about you?
I still have never been to DFW.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm kind of with you on the Rhinebeck or Stitches West or something like that. It's kind of like... One yarn festival is another yarn festival.
Right.
And, well, it'd be nice to go, but it sounds like that one's a little bit of a pain to get to, too.
Yeah.
There's not, it's not like DFW or something where you got lots of hotels nearby or whatever. I enjoyed myself at Into the Wool. That was nice and laid back. Just, it was beautiful weather that weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, hanging out with people, and other than the 4 days in the car.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. I made you drive all that. And I had fun at the Plucky one when I went. I don't know. I'm very low key, so I'd rather it be a low key and just sit around and knit and chit chat. You know, like yeah. kind of like a girls' weekend with yarn.
And that, you know, we've talked about that a lot. That's one of the things, you know, I would love to do is just get a house in the hill country,
right?
And have, you know, a handful of friends chip in for the rent and just hang out and knit and watch movies and
maybe go to a yarn awesome. Store or. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Let's see. Let's do another one. Let's just go with number one.
What sparked your interest in knitting?
I have no idea. Actually, I think my mom started knitting again in the early 2000s and sent a couple of scarves. This was back when Fun Fur and novelty yarn was big, and I actually had some one out of eyelash yarn, which actually I really, really loved. But that I think it sparked the interest a little bit. But then I don't know what made me think about it, but it was yarn. It was thinking about yarn itself and all of the colors, and maybe seeing blankets or something, and I wanted to work with the yarn. I wanted something made out of yarn that was that soft, and the only way that was going to happen was if I learned to do it myself. And it took multiple tries. I was a crocheter first. I tried knitting. It didn't click with me until I had learned to crochet. And I honestly, if I crochet, I mean, I knit weird. Like both Katie and my mom have stopped and just kind of stared at me before and said, "You knit really weird."
It works for you.
It works for me.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I knit like I crochet. It's basically, you know, like the left needle is like the row of crochet stitches that I would crochet into, and I use my needle like a crochet hook. But it's sort of kind of continental, but not exactly. I was able to
pinch your needles all the time.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that I do that.
I think you do, yeah.
But it was the instructions for continental knitting that was what clicked with me. So it is more of a continental style. Yeah. But that's what sparked my interest. What about you?
It's been 10 years or more, so I really wanted to make granny squares, so I started crochet granny squares. And then we have like those community classes that you can pay like $75 mm-hmm. and go a handful of times. So I did the crochet one, and then I took the knitting one right after that. And she made us do different stuff, and so I've been knitting ever since, mm-hmm. and crocheting off and on ever since. So that was 2006, in that time frame.
Yeah, that's around the same time. For my birthday in 2008, I got a set of Knit Picks options interchangeable. That was when I had really decided I had knit actually a scarf before then, but I hadn't knit again, and I had kind of forgotten how, but decided I really wanted to pick it up, and that's when I really started. But then even then I went back to crochet, and it was when I started working at the library and everybody was knitting that I really picked really
I think that helped too was that with renovation we had, you know, the yarn people, you know, Darcy and Leslie and Marsha and anybody else knit or crochet?
Mercedes did a little bit. Amy did a little bit. Sandy did a little bit.
Yeah, but the three of them I wouldn't count. They weren't like Marcia or Leslie who were more prolific and did it a lot.
Yeah. So and now it's just us. Really.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of people downstairs.
Well, that's true. And there's like someone in LMS.
Mary.
Yeah, she's I would say a knitter with a capital K. She recognizes the patterns that I'm working on. And it's not just a something to kill time with. She's done fiber share and that type of thing. I think ultimately for me, it was blankets. I remember someone had a blanket. It was probably velour, the Lion Brand velour or something. It was so soft, and I wanted to do that. So that's why I learned to crochet. Still have never made one of those blankets.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to make granny squares. I wanted to make rainbow granny squares, and that's why I learned to crochet.
Okay, let's back to the knitting. Are you planning to cast anything on soon?
Mentally, yes. Let's see. My mojo is just wherever. I think about knitting all the time, but I just actually sit down and do it is just, I like to force myself. Either my hands hurt or I just don't have the brain space. I do have yarn wound for a hipster shawl. This is a Hohe Locatelli pattern. She has a big fall knit along. I think that goes until middle of November or something. Mm-hmm. I haven't started it yet. It involves purling, so I may not do it.
Anyway, you break your 2018.
I know, kind of set a goal for myself now. And then the other one is the Tuft Wrap, which is it's a new plucky pattern. It's a big rectangle wrap, but knit on the bias with one main color, and then you do just like a 1-2 row, pearl stripe of another color, and you mm-hmm. put a little bit of fringe on it. Mm-hmm. But that would also involve purling. So I bought yarn for that, a merino cotton one. Because I am finding that my office is consistently cold, and then when I come over and work next to your desk, it's consistently cold. So I'm liking wearing that, my hidden falls. Mm-hmm. I really need to bring my poncho. I think my poncho would be perfect.
That was my other option for knitting for Saima. Was a poncho, because she mentioned one day how she needed a poncho, and I had found a pattern. I think it was on one of the like recommended patterns. There was a bulky weight poncho that I think probably could have pulled off for her using like Foster.
See, for something like that, something that much investment, I would.
But it was bulky enough that I don't think it would have been that much of an investment, but. I like knitting socks, so.
Yeah, and she'll like that.
Yeah.
That's all that I really have that I'm thinking about, because I do have 3 or 4 other things, languishing whips.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, with all of the whips I have going right now, I don't really need to cast anything on, but I did. So, my dream project is a Celestarium. Which is the big round with the constellations on it. My husband is an astronomy teacher and astronomer.
When he gets his PhD, you can make that for him. But,
the night sky is just something kind of a recurring theme. Like, I don't know if I mentioned that I got a tattoo earlier this year, but it's not that it's a night sky theme, but it is celestial. I got a sun. And we've talked, my husband has several constellations tattooed now on his arms. I don't even remember. I think he's got four, with plans for more. But so this whole night sky thing is just a theme with us. And I really love that shawl, but it is a little ambitious for me. But we were looking, we were at dinner one night, and for some reason I was looking at that and I was showing it to him and I was looking at the patterns by the author, and she also, so she has a Southern Skies one as well. So this one, Celestarium, is the Northern Hemisphere. Southern Skies is the Southern Hemisphere, obviously. And then she has a cowl that is called the Equatorial Night's Cowl that has the constellations around the equator. And it is much smaller, obviously, and much more achievable. So I actually have already bought beads for it. I've never done any beaded knitting, so this will be, you know, maybe I may wait until the new year and be like a new technique for the new year or something like that. But I have beads, and then the yarn that I used for the last curl I did was Cascade Heritage Sock in a really pretty royal blue. It's kind of like the royal blue slash purple, which would actually be perfect for this. And I'm almost certain I have enough to make it. So I have the stuff to make it with. I'm not sure I want to go there brain space wise. Not to mention, while the kitten generally lets me knit now, mostly, I'm not sure that beads involved would be would be the wisest decision. Maybe when the kitten is a little bit older.
Just depends how you just need to keep them in a cup of some sort or something. Yeah.
But anyway, so that's it. We'll go ahead and go to acquisitions, and then we'll do another question. Have you bought anything this?
Not really. Yeah. Well, yeah, but not worth talking about.
So it's been a while. So I have two Leading Men Fiber Arts purchases, because if you remember, I was doing monthly their color of the month. So I have, what is this month? September. This is September.
Okay.
And this is Just Sayin', and it's kind of reminds me of newsprint, honestly. It's like, it's a white base with gray and black.
Black and gray, yeah.
And speckles of gray. I went back to the showcase base, which is a fingering weight. I did this one in that weight because would be such a nice neutral to go with any of the others. I mean, so it's very possible I could use it with something I bought. And then I decided to just keep going with the showcase for the rest of the year. Just, I don't know why. So the October colorway is Spiced Apple Cider, and I absolutely love this colorway. It's very fall, but it's a red, it's reddish orange, a tonal.
Cinnabar.
Yeah. It's more tonal than speckled, although there are some speckles in it, but it's like a red to a brick red, and like it's
terracotta.
Tonal. Yeah, it is the epitome of fall, I think. So those are those two. Then I already talked about the destination yarns that I bought for the socks. Last weekend I was in Austin, and I had lunch with Heidi, Undead Heidi from Undead Yarn. And if you remember back in August when I went on vacation, I lost my sock project that I was making with her This Is Halloween colorway. And when we had lunch, she brought me a replacement skein, which was the sweetest thing ever. I was really floored. It was really nice. So this, I actually bought it and lost it before I could actually talk about it on the podcast, I brought this one. So it is a kind of a cream base with neon orange and black.
Some pink in there?
And pink, yeah. There's a little bit of yellow. And I've seen this knit up in socks. And I think she might have done a shawl out of it as well. And I just really like the way it knit up. So there's some red in there too. I am eager. This will probably hang out until next year, and I'll do socks again. But not sure. I was doing a pattern that was wedding themed, Forever and After or something like that by Danielle George, who did she's British. She has a video podcast. I don't watch it, but I know who she is. Little something. But that's what the pattern was. And then What else? Oh, sadly, Jinx decided, has closed her business for health reasons and had a sale. I don't know if it was so much a sale as she was getting rid of all of her. She did one final update. That's what I'm thinking. So I managed to snag a skein of Christmas lights, self-striping from that. And then last but not least, I keep feeling like I had talked about this, but I looked at the date when I bought it and I couldn't have, I don't know, maybe I was just telling Katie about it. I got a bag from Bags by Awesome Granny that is a Southwestern themed bag. It's kind of browns and brick red and very Southwestern-y. It's got an adobe
mission or church on it.
With cactuses, and there's a covered wagon on the other side. And I so the last podcast I talked about the vacation we took, so we had gone to New Mexico, and we were sitting watching, or I was watching a podcast, my husband was working or doing something, and or he was supposed to be working. Instead, he was dreaming about New Mexico and telling me should we just drop everything and just go to New Mexico right then. And it was bringing back really good memories. And right then, Darlene, I have the sock lady on my brain. Darlene was talking about her update and showed this bag of like this perfect Southwestern New Mexican looking scene. And I actually paused it, went over and showed my husband. I'm like, if this bag is still available, I'm buying this right now. It's like, it's just perfect. So it was, and I bought it, and it, I haven't used it yet because it's huge, and I don't have anything on the needles right now that is big enough to go in it. It's I would say a sweater size. It's definitely sweater size. I have
three of her. Mine are that big. I think mine are that big.
It would be a really good like three color shawl or something like that. But
I like my bags room. I don't like feeling like I'm cramming my stuff in.
But I mean everything. It's mostly socks and a couple of smallish shawls. So I don't
put
really
a shawl in it.
Yeah. So maybe I'll need to cast on next, something.
The same size.
Is it? Yeah. But So I really like that. So that is it. That's all I've purchased. I am really kind of having grabby hands. I'm having to restrain myself. The other thing I bought, I did get a fat fiber box in this last update. It was fall themed, so I went ahead and snagged one of those. I figured we had plenty to talk about this week. I didn't need to bring it in for y'all as I went through all of the different fiber samples. But there's a lot of stuff. I have not been spending a lot of my little samples, and I don't know. I haven't been spending. Last year, not last school year, but the year before, it was kind of a morning ritual. I would have my coffee and I would do like maybe 10 minutes of spinning on a spindle before I went to work. And then last year, it was, my daughter was still living at home and was using my car. She didn't have her own car to drive herself to school. So my husband was taking me to the park and ride, which meant that I was out of the house. I didn't get that time. I have that time back now. But I have been using it. I have the Discovery of Witches, not Discovery of Witches, Deborah Harkness, who wrote Discovery of Witches, the All Souls trilogy, has released a book back in sometime. I don't remember when it was, August-ish, maybe? No, it was May, back in May. That is kind of a compendium of the whole the world of All Souls, and I've been kind of savoring that over coffee in the morning. I'm almost done with it, so maybe when I'm done with that, I'll pick up the spinning again. I also, my intention for my little mini eel wheel was to do the samples on that, but I haven't actually touched it since the last time we podcast. If anybody has one, or if anybody has any of the electric spinners that have the yarn guides that you have to adjust. I'm used to my Ladybug that has the fixed yarn guides that you just stop and you wind back and forth. You know, you switch the hooks periodically. I don't know how to deal with the sliding things. Like, I don't know, when do you know when to slide that? And it's a mystery to me. So I just haven't used it. But it would actually be a really perfect use for that, because they're small. It only holds small samples. So maybe I'll do that. Let's do another question. Let's go with number three.
What is your favorite cast-on method?
For most anything but socks, my favorite is a long tail cast on. For socks, I prefer to start toe up. I will do cuff down. If I do cuff down, I'll do a long tail cast on. Toe up, I do a Judy's Magic cast on.
The only one I really know off the top of my head is long tail. I mean, yeah. I have done Judy's Magic, and like half the time it turns out, half it doesn't. Or I'm short a stitch, or it's wobbly.
I finally mostly have it memorized.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the concept. Yeah. I just never have my yarn in the right end or the top of the needle or whatever.
That's the hardest part for me.
I've done German Twisted once, but that's...
I have done that, and actually... That one's the one, it's like long tail bead. There's like an extra step in there.
Yeah.
I did that recently for, maybe it was the slippery hat. Something I did recently had that. I like that cast on too. It's a nice stretchy.
It's one of those I'd have to do it repeatedly to know it.
Yeah. But it's, the thing is that it's so close to long tail, it's easy to like revert back into the...
And I'm a lazy knitter in the grand scheme, you know. To me, it's not that big of a difference, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know if it's one of the questions, but the bind-off is another story. I used to do just the traditional bind-off, knit one, knit two, the first one over. But that's not stretchy at all. So for the sweaters that I have been doing, or the past two sweaters, like the one I'm working on now, and then the whatever one, Distract Me, that I did before, I found Lucy Neat Bee's bind off, which is a stretchy bind off that it's basically you're passing, it's the same as the traditional bind off, but you're doing it in one step. And because of the way this stitch stretches, it makes it a stretchier bind off. So it's really good for sweaters. Other than that, I will do the, I think it's the Russian bind off where you knit one and then put it back on the needle and knit through the back loop.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, that's what I'll usually do for shawls, just because it's also a fairly stretchy bind off.
I don't mind Jenny's. Depends how much I have.
I do that for socks. If I do toe up, I usually do Jenny's super stretchy.
Depends on what I'm binding off. Normal bind off or the Jenny's stretchy. Mm-hmm. Or the Russian.
Let's do another. You pick this time.
Eight. Have we done eight?
I don't think so.
What is your first knitting project?
It was a scarf. I did, actually, I don't remember which one of these was first. So both of them were scarves, though. I did a scarf for my daughter. She was probably... she had just turned 10, I think. And I used some type of pink novelty yarn. And it was just garter stitch. But it was actually really cute because you couldn't see the stitches. So it was just this big fluffy pink thing. She would never wear that now. And then that other scarf was for my son, and it was Lion Brand, probably Quick and thick or whatever it's called, in a green. It was just a 2x2 rib, and it was tiny. Like, I had no concept. Actually, the first few projects were scarves, and I had no concept of how long they needed to be. So you could, like, maybe wrap it around your neck and, like, like twist it or something. Yeah. Yeah. What was yours?
I don't really remember. Because in that class, we did, like, a washcloth. Because I remember doing a washcloth that had like a pattern to it. So it may have been something like that. Or I don't remember. I really don't. Mm-hmm.
What about crochet? Do you remember the crochet one?
I'm pretty sure it's the rainbow granny squares. Oh. Is the mm-hmm. first real, I mean, not counting the swatches that didn't turn out right.
Mine was a scarf. It was, I'm pretty sure it was Karen Simply Soft in a kind of a burgundy color. It was just double crochet in that. That was, I think that one was long enough.
I mean, to this day, I still have an issue with edges and turning chains. So that's why I like granny squares and things I can go around and around.
And then for crochet, that really got me was the amigurumi, because that was, it was... It was a good time. My kids were young enough that they appreciated stuffies still. The first one that I did was a hamster. It was out of, I don't even remember what the book was. It was some book that had little cute little animals. And it was just basically like this bean-shaped, it was like a tube, or like a capsule. It looked like a capsule. And it had a little beret on it. And I... like a nose or something. It was cute.
But I can't even remember. I mean, I remember the stuff we did in the knitting class, but I don't really remember the stuff we did in the crochet class. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was making a blanket or something like that, like a ripple blanket. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been 10 years.
Yeah. Let's move on to reading and watching. Do you want to go?
Sure. Let's see. Okay. Well, it's been like a month since I've read half of these, so we'll see what I
hear from mine.
Well, and I read something and then I move on. So, I did read a YA book called Bring Me Their Hearts by Sarah Wolf. What I vaguely remember is that the main character, who's a girl, doesn't technically have a heart because it's being kept by a witch, and the witch controls her, and so she's sent to the palace to try and get the heart of the prince so that the witches can control, you know, be in control and dominate. I liked it. It was good. I may have given it a review. I did give it 4 stars on Goodreads. I may have given it a review. I'm really liking Kelly Bowen. She's a historical romance, so I've kind of reading through some of her backlist. Two of the books I've read are I've Got the Duke to Keep Me Warm and then A Duke in the Night. I enjoyed both of those. I just started These Rebel Waves by Sarah Roche. I don't know. It's probably me. I'm having a hard time getting into it. I'm probably 20, 30 pages in, and I'm kind of like, I don't understand this. And some of the world building and stuff, so I may give that up because I, you know, looked on Goodreads and ruined it for myself. So I may give that up and then move on to Sea Witch by Sarah Henning. And then I have a nonfiction book called Fly Girls by Keith O'Brien, that's about 5 women aviators. Amelia Earhart's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Maybe on my list.
So I had the hard copy and I just wasn't the print was too small. Take my glasses with me. Like, I just need to read it on Kindle. And so HPL doesn't own it on an Overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like way down the list at Harris County. But Fort Bend had it, uh-huh. but my card was expired.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to run over there the other night and get my card renewed. But I have it on Kindle now. So I have those. Plus then there's a whole, you know, October seems to be September through November is kind of when, you know, the whole, all the new books come out for fall and winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the new Mackenzie Lee book is out, Pirates and Petticoats. Although I didn't really love Vice and Virtue, Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue. Mm-hmm. But this is about his sister, mm-hmm. so I'm going to give it another try. The Two Dark Crowns, which is, you know, the third book in the Three Dark Crowns series, whatever, the Kendaria Blake series.
Mm-hmm.
My Plain Jane. I've got like 6 or 7 books that I'm like manipulating the queue to try and so that I can get them when I'm ready for them. Rochelle Mead had a new book come out. Emerald something, I can't remember. It's the third book in the series that I've kind of been okay with. But there was a big event at Blue Willow this week. It was Claire LeGrand, Mackenzie Lee, Kendari Blake.
Oh, wow.
And like 2 other ones that all have new books out. But I knew that would be crazy.
Because
Blue Willow is so small.
Oh, yeah. And was it actually at
Blue Willow? Yeah, it was actually at Blue Willow.
Because I know a lot of the times they will host events like at another location.
Right. No, I got tickets to go see Sarah J. Moss.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming at end of October, and they're having that at Morton Ranch, which is not too far from here. So I'm like, that's just right up the road. I'll pay $25, and you get the book for $25.
Oh, that's nice.
Dollars, you get the book and a swag bag.
Mm-hmm.
So, so all the YA books that are coming out, and then alternating that with, of course, you know, historical romance, and then I love The Dorrells and Corfu. It is now on its 3rd season, which just started on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so lovely. It's this family who moves from England to Corfu, Greece, on this little island, and, you know, try and make their way. But there's drama, but it's not like nasty drama. It's, you know, quirky drama.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's 4 kids. There's Larry, who's a writer. Leslie, who, I don't quite know the ages of all the kids. Larry has to be like in his early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie has to be like a year or 2 younger than him. And then there's Margot, who's the kind of the dim-headed girl, or that's mm-hmm. how she portrays herself. And then there's Gerald, who is, you know, a tween boy who loves nature and, you know, studying the animals and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And of course, you have all the characters from the island, and the mother, Louisa, and, you know, the faux pas of English culture in Greek culture.
That really sounds good.
It's just, it's lovely. And there's just some fabulous one-liners mm-hmm. in there. Like, in the 2nd season, Margot, as like a 16 or 17-year-old girl, thinks she wants to become a nun. Because she becomes infatuated with a boy at the monastery or whatever. And she's like, I don't think I can be a nun. I like boys too much to be a top-notch nun or something. Like, it just says it like deadpan like that. Mm-hmm. It's just, and it's pretty, you know, it's this really pretty house looking, well, it's a very rustic house looking over the, whatever the Greek ocean is.
The Aegean? Is that, or is that ancient?
I don't know, but I have thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just lovely.
Oh, that sounds good.
So, there's, I think, going to be 4 seasons, so mm-hmm. there's at least another season after this but the third one just started on PBS.
Gosh, let's see. Most of these I finished a while back too. So I finished Paper Ghosts by Julia Heberlin. This was the one that was set in Texas, and the girl's, the main character's sister had died, and she was, there was a man that she was sure had killed her, and she had taken, she had not befriended, that's not quite the right word. She was pretending to be his daughter and convinced the person, like, it was like a halfway house that he was staying at, that she was his daughter, and they, she took him on this road trip to different places where, like, other women had disappeared or had been murdered that she thought he could be connected to try. He supposedly had Alzheimer's, or she wasn't sure if he really did or if he was just pretending, and she was hoping to jog his memory by taking him to all these places. And I really liked it. I think I gave it 4 stars. I don't remember how it ended now. I mean, I know that I was satisfied with the ending. I don't quite remember. Like, I should go back and kind of read to see exactly what happened. But I don't remember. But I do recommend that one. I finished reading or listening to The Raven King, which is the 4th in the Raven Cycle series by Maggie Stiefvater. I had started listening, well, I don't remember when I started reading it, but then I had started listening to it sometime last fall and never got back to it. And on a whim, started listening to it again. So finished that one. I like that. That whole series is really good. It's a YA series. I read Maisie Dobbs by Jacqueline Winspear, and this one is a detective novel set in, it's post-World War I. It is a recent, or not recent, some, it was written in the early 2000s, I think. So modern day writing, but it was set in the 20s and 30s. I really, really liked that. I kind of expected a cozy mystery type thing, and it was more literary than that. The writing was really lovely. The characterization was spot on. And you really cared about the characters. So I did enjoy that a lot, and I'll read more in that series. I also finished reading Time's Convert by Deborah Harkness, which is the, okay, let's, so there's the All Souls trilogy, which was 3 books, and then this is, I guess we would call it a companion to that series. It, same characters, pretty much this, like a continuation of the storyline, but it isn't officially a part of the trilogy. But it, New York Times pop up. Anyway, it takes one of the characters from that series and looks at his backstory. So if you've never read the All Souls trilogy, it is, it begins with the discovery of witches, which is really funny because that's how it begins. It all begins with the discovery of witches. But the main character is Diana, who is a witch, and she falls in love ultimately with Matthew, who is a vampire. And there are, this sounds like hokey romantic paranormal romance, and it really isn't. It's much more literary than that. And it's kind of science fiction, fantasy, and historical fiction all wrapped up in the series. So in the world, there are creatures, there's witches who are, you know, live a normal life like humans, but they have magical powers. There are vampires who are basically immortal. They were not born vampires. Witches are born witches. Vampires are made. There are demons who are also just normal humans, but they're just, like, you think about, like, the eccentric geniuses and people who are, like, really good at manipulating, and maybe bankers and politicians who have this, you know, those would be, are often demons. And then, is that it? I guess it's just those 3. I was thinking there were 4, but just those 3. So you learn about those worlds, and then there's the backstories. The whole series is my favorite, actually. It's like probably my all-time favorite series. And so this one takes one of, it's the backstory of one of the characters who is a vampire. Like, so it's back, goes back to the Revolutionary War, which is when he was born, and his story of how he became a vampire and that type of thing. As well as catching up with the characters from the previous books, like in the present. So I loved it. It was just as good as the others. Highly recommend it if you have read you would need to have read the other series in order for this to make any sense. But if you have, I would recommend it. I'm currently reading Fear by Bob Woodward, which if you don't know about it, it's Bob Woodward is the Washington Times reporter, Washington Post reporter, who broke the Watergate story back in the 70s. And this is his book about Trump. And it's okay. I was expecting his, honestly, for someone who is such a renowned reporter, he's not a very good writer. Like, the story, his writing is not great. And so far, I haven't, like, there have been no surprises. It's like, yeah, we all know that this has happened. And that this is, this is what people have said. So, it was okay. It's a disappointment, but I will finish it, probably. And then I am also reading my coworker Steven's book. He has been sending chapters. I'm on chapter 4. I'm actually really enjoying it, other than the fact that he uses, he's got this made up language. It's like, very sci-fi, like an alien tongue. And I just skip over. I don't even try to pronounce the words, and I find that distracting. There's a lot of different characters, and the feedback I'm going to give him is he needs to put like a guide, like who the different characters are, like you see in some of the bigger, like epic series, right? Because I can't keep up. But the storyline itself is engaging. And it's, I decided to go ahead and finish chapter 4 instead. I have been using it as kind of a palate cleanser. And this one, I'm like, no, I'll keep reading it and I'll finish this. So that I would say positive feedback for him. He really, really needs an editor. He needs to send it to someone to have professional editing done. I'm not an editor. The other people that he sent it to are like Lauren and Aaron, who was getting ready to have a baby and certainly not going to have time to read anymore. But, I've told him, I was like, it's good. The writing is good. It needs editing. I'm not an editor. And he does. I don't know that he's, I don't know why he doesn't like seem to hear that. I don't know if he really knows what the process is for. I don't know if he plans. I don't know if he plans to self-publish. If he self-publishes, then the fact that it's not edited will be, it's not going to be great. If he would get it to an editor and have it actually accepted and edited, I think it could be really good. So there's that. I don't remember what the name of it is, and it doesn't matter anyway because no one can get it right now. But then I have a couple of things that I am planning to read. So Barbara Kingsolver's new book is coming out in a couple of weeks, and I've read all of her previous stuff.
Read her at all.
I love her writing so much. My favorite is Prodigal Summer. I really like Poisonwood Bible, like Animal Dreams and Bean Trees.
Poisonwood Bible?
It was a missionary family. Was that an Oprah book? Probably. Almost certainly. Probably almost 20 years ago.
Because she was really big there for a while.
Yeah, that one is set. It's a missionary family in Africa. And it has this, it goes through the stories of, there's several, a few daughters. And, it will tell their stories. And it's epic, but
I don't know that I've read any, really. I don't know. Really, I mean, I know it. Of her, but.
Yeah, I love her. So her next book, and I can't remember the name of it right now, that's coming out, I think, not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday. So what's that, the 16th? And she is actually coming to Brazos as part of the imprint series. So that's on a Monday. I don't know anybody who is a big fan, and Jimmy has class, so I don't know if I'll go because I'm not going by myself. And it's at UH. So I don't know. I'm trying to convince him to skip
class. Does something like Savannah would go to?
Maybe, anyway, so that's coming out. And then I haven't read it yet, but I have it. If any of you follow Bird Like Bags, who's Vicky Knault, I think is what her last name is. I can't remember right now. She was a bag maker and was really popular there for a while. I have several of her bags, really good bags. She and her husband actually just published a YA book about dragons. Let me see. I think I have it on my Kindle. I can tell you the title. I know it's available on Kindle Unlimited, and I know it was free when I got it. I actually got it you could sign up to get it. If you signed up for their newsletter, you would get a free copy of it. And I did that, and I haven't read it yet, but I want to. It's The Dragoneer, Book 1, The Bonding. Vicky Knestaut is how, or Knestaut, Knestaut. And that's Vicky, who's Bird Like Bags on Instagram. And I really have enjoyed following her. She, anytime I post like a selfie of me and Jimmy, she's always like, talking about, oh, there's those cool kids again. And so that's kind of fun. But there's that. And then this is not... I did not mean to click that. This isn't one I've read, but I just wanted to mention it. So, I'm not a graphic novel fan, just in general. I've tried. It's just not my thing. But there is a graphic novel that is really popular called Check Please, which is about a gay figure skater. No, not figure skater. Hockey player. It is ice skating, but the other sport. That was written by one of my husband's former students. Her name is Ngozi Ukazu, and she was in this class probably about 10 years ago, but she was on the quiz bowl team. So it's not just a former student, it's a former student that he knows really well. And I've met her a few times at events, and she was absolutely hilarious. I really enjoyed the time that I spent with her. But she is like really... made it. Like, she's one of the speakers at the Texas Book Festival this year. And she, I was on Goodreads yesterday, and, like, based on your reading, you might like, and it was her book. And I checked the reviews, and she has, like, a 4.69 rating with, like, over 1,000 reviews. Wow. And I was, texting it to Jimmy, taking a screenshot and showing him. And it started as a Kickstarter, and it has been picked up by a real publisher. A real publisher. I don't know who's publishing it, but I'm just really proud of this kid she's not a kid anymore. I mean, she's got to be almost 30 years old, but there's somebody that, I can say I knew them when, and right. It's really cool to see, someone become really successful and more than successful, just super popular. I Savannah one day, I was in the staff lounge, and she was talking about something and mentioned Check Please, and at the time I'm like, wait, what is that? And she mentioned one of those, like, oh, I know that author. And she just freaked out. Oh my gosh, she should go to Comic-Con. And my husband was like, I'm pretty sure she goes to Comic-Con every year. Not Comic-Con, Comic-Palooza, which is Houston's. But if that is if you are a graphic novel fan, especially of like YA type stuff, I think you would probably really enjoy it. It's supposed to be really funny, really heartwarming. I started it and never finished it. It's not my thing. But that's it. You want to do one more question, or
yeah, we can do it.
We're almost an hour and a half. We can get it. That's close.
We record once a month.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Thank you for staying this long.
Thank you for any of you who have been listening for the full 100 episodes. I know there are some of you out there, at least.
Okay, let's see. Are you a self-proclaimed yarn snob?
Yeah, I really am. I that's not to say that I won't use acrylic, but I am particular about what acrylics I will use.
Well, yeah, to that extent. It depends on the project and what it, you know, like, if I'm gifting something to someone who I don't know that they're going to take care of it, then maybe they get the $12 skein of hand-dyed yarn, not the $30 skein.
Yeah, it's like, you know, picking the yarn for Sima's socks. It's like, okay, am I going to spend $35 or more on a skein of mustache, or am I going to use something that I already have, or am I going to wait for a sale? I take that back. I'm not sure if yarn snob is the right word. I don't turn my nose up to people who are using Red Heart. I mean, especially, I think a lot of the big box brands have really
gotten better.
They've gotten better. Their quality is better. And I do, like, I have a crochet sampler blanket that I'm using some acrylic for. I mean, it's not my top choice, but it has its place. I guess I wouldn't say I'm really a yarn snob. I prefer indie dyed yarn, but it's not always the best choice.
Well, I don't think it's on this list, but are you a process or project knitter?
I think I am a little of both. For the most part, it's process. I just want to be knitting. I have all of these shawls that I've never worn that I'm just going to start giving away, I think. But there are also things like the Separate Ways sweater that I'm making right now. I want that project. It's not the process. I hated picking up those stitches the other night, but I want the product. So it is, for the most part, process, but, you know, I like the things that I make.
Yeah, I'm 90% process, 10% project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was trying to look for that blanket for Lainey the other night, I was digging through two bins of stuff that I've knit over the years, and I'm like, I'm never going to wear this stuff. I need to give it away. I need to block it and then give it away. Mm-hmm. So, because I'm like, now that I'm in an office that's freezing all the time, I want the big wraps.
Yeah.
Not these little handkerchief scarves. Yeah. Do you have any other hobbies?
I cross-stitch. I haven't been lately. My latest project or ongoing project is a Christmas stocking for my husband. I'm doing back stitching on that right now, and honestly, I put it aside when we got the kitten because I could handle. It's easy to put yarn down, not as easy to put the cross stitch down, you know, with the needle and all. I didn't want to poke her, but she still gets on my lap a lot, but she's not as persistent about jumping right back up. I've picked it up a few times. I've just got other priorities right now. Yeah. I also like to bake. Obviously, I like to read. I'm sure there are other things, but that's...
You like hiking and stuff.
Yeah, I do like to hike. We haven't been in a while.
It's almost cool.
It's almost cool. Today, actually, if we hadn't been doing this, I probably might have actually made a trip out to the park.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I knit and crochet. I like to read, think about books, think about yarn.
Mm-hmm. I like to make lists.
I need to go get more scrap paper from Central because I have one of those wooden boxes with the scrap paper. And I'm down a whole thing of scrap paper because I make lists every day. Watch TV. I do like to go for I like sitting on my patio, if that counts as a hobby, when it's nice out.
Yeah. I do spin. I forgot.
Yeah, I'm taking a spinning class next weekend, so we'll see if I like spinning or not. Apparently it starts with working on a spindle, but I'm like, I want the wheel. Do you know what the oldest yarn in your stash is?
I probably have some acrylic that I bought a while, but actually I know I have, I don't know that I would even consider this stash as much as trash, because our back room was craft storage for a while, and then I've got moved on, but I have yarn back there that I bought for projects, like, when my kids were little. I think I have some, like, pink camo yarn and stuff like that that I'm never, ever going to knit with. So I don't even consider that stash. Otherwise, no, I don't know what the oldest is.
I mean, yeah, not counting, like, really old acrylic or kitchen cotton. Probably I have some, like, my first indie dyed would be some Malabrigo worsted. I mm-hmm. might still have some of that.
Yeah, I think I've used all of that. I'm looking. I have a spreadsheet of my stash. I don't have a year on here, but there's some Malabrigo twist from. That's pretty old. A Netflix comfy bulky. That's at least 8 years old. Read this. I have some Malabrigo Silky that's several years old. Nora Ferrin, that's at least eight years old.
I don't think I have any Nora left in
the world. That one was, I bought that at Sugar Van Yarn Company when they had first opened. And I remember I made a little wrap out of it for ALA, and that was 2010. There's some Silk Garden in there.
Want to do one or two more?
Yeah.
Are you a gifty knitter or a selfish knitter?
I am a selfish knitter. But like I said, I've got so much stuff now that I don't know what to do with that I feel like I am becoming more of a gift knitter just because that's part of that process. It's like I just want to make it. I don't necessarily want to wear it. So I think that's shifting a bit. Most of the socks I make are for me just because I know that they fit me. And I also know that I'm going to wear them. I'm not so sure how much they're going to get worn by other people. I will make Jimmy socks, but he doesn't wear them that much, and they're bigger than mine. That's another thing. The socks, for me, I have small feet, so they're generally quick projects.
Right. I think a selfish process. I don't know. I have anxiety about giving stuff to people because I don't know if they truly like it. It's one thing if I put a whole bunch of stuff on the table and you pick from it, because then you're making that choice.
Right.
Kind of like when we had below freezing temps in the library that one summer and I brought in a whole bunch of hats and stuff and people got to pick. But it's different if I knit you something and I'm not 100% sure that you're going to like, you know, like the blanket I gave Lainey, I wasn't really 100% sure she'd like it because, you know, Erin I figure would like what I made her. But
yeah, you never know. I've actually thought about, we have the CMC thing, which is it's a charity campaign that we do yearly at the library, and we have different fundraisers. And I've really thought about coordinating like kind of almost like an arts and crafts fair type thing, or like an arts and crafts table where people bring in. But I'm like, I don't know that I could watch something that I made go for like $2 or something.
Well,
like that.
I mean, you did that with a scarf or a shawl that Marsha made for like $10. And you know that the yarn alone had to cost more than that.
Yeah, and I mean, while I would be making the conscious choice to donate it, I don't know that I could watch it, you know, people not really, really appreciate what went into it.
Right.
Now, Saima was talking about doing like an accessory swap type thing, and I've thought about bringing some stuff in there, because it's that same thing, you're just putting it out, and if people want it, then that's great. But I don't know.
I'd rather just donate that stuff, because then it doesn't come back around. It doesn't end up in the white elephant tray.
This is true.
The Christmas
I don't know that I could
handle that something. One more.
Okay.
Let's see. Is there a pattern or project that you have knit more than one time?
I've knit the barley a couple of times. well, various sock patterns. I've done, my go-to sock pattern is the My Knitted Heart vanilla socks. I don't think I've ever done, oh no, I've done, I did a couple of Hitchhikers. I did a couple of, what is that? I can't remember what the shawl pattern is. It's three letters. TGV. I've done a couple of those. I'm not doing the same Yalza way yet. I used to think I wouldn't make the same one over and over, but sometimes
just mentally easers.
Yeah. Yeah. Me, like, I don't want to think, I was like, I know this was fun to knit and this will be good yarn for that. I just want to knit. Yeah.
Well, it's like you knit it once and you're like, and then in my head, I just think about color combinations.
Oh, well, yeah.
And so, you know, for me, it's like, of course, I've knit a handful of Barleys. I have knit a ton of Hurricane hats. Mm-hmm. That one summer I had a hurricane hat challenge. So every time a hurricane formed, I knit a hat. That was a summer there was like 16 hurricanes or something like that. Because those are easy.
Not hitting. We didn't get hit by 16 hurricanes.
But that was a year or two after Ike, I think.
That was around 2010 because that was, it was the same year that I was talking about making the wrap for ALA. I remember I was in ALA when the first one formed.
But lately I've been doing the gradient shawl thing. So I've made two Griers. I'm on my second In the Light. I've made two of the freer fades. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm not opposed to knitting something twice, and especially if it's easy and mindless and I can come up with different color combinations, mm-hmm. or it uses a whole bunch of yarn.
Okay, there's one more on there that I saw that I want to do. What is your favorite thing that you've ever knit or crocheted?
Oh, God. I don't know. It just depends where I'm at. Right now, I really like my Ohm shawl. Now, I actually haven't worn it. Mm-hmm. But I think it'll be nice and toasty in my office, which is, I really need to take it to work the next time I don't have a whole bunch of stuff in my book bag. I really am still in love with my In the Light, just the color progression of that for the other one I made. Mm-hmm. I need to block that. Crochet, nothing really wow. I mean, mm-hmm. my Sunday shawl was pretty, and granny squares are pretty, but I think that's about it.
I think really, I didn't know how to wear it at first, but I really, really, the most impressive thing I think I've made is the Starting Point wrap. That it looks impressive. I wore that into the staff lounge one day, and I think Savannah and Susanna were like, don't tell me you made that. And
I wore that one day when you were gone. I was sitting there with Albert. I'm like, I'm cold.
It is a perfect wrap for our cold office. But there's that. But I also, and this was actually, I was a really new knitter when I made this, which I don't know that I would actually want to look at it now and see. I might be embarrassed if I looked at it. But I made a Lizard Ridge blanket for one of our friends who got married. And this was in 2009, so I was a new knitter. But it wasn't a hard pattern. I learned how to do short rows. I don't know that I knew that that was short rows at the time. But it was, the Lizard Ridge is by Laura Ayler. And it was a free pattern in Knitty. And it used Noro, and it's stripes, but it's like these wavy stripes, and so you would use one end of of the Noro to make one stripe, and then the other end of the Noro to make the second stripe, and you would alternate back. I think it was like six stripes, maybe six or eight. And I made like 12 by 12 squares, maybe 9 by 9 squares. And I bought all the Noro. I had a list of like all these colors, and I would go to Yarns to You and buy like four skeins and finish all that, and then I would go and I would buy more. And I don't remember how many squares it had, but it was not a gigantic blanket. It was like larger than a lap blanket, but not big enough to like be a twin bed cover. I probably had 24 squares maybe, and then I crocheted them together, and it really was a pretty one. And I wanted to make myself one, but every time I would get it, and I was over it.
Yeah.
But that was impressive, especially because I was such a new knitter. I learned to spit splice. I learned short rows. I had never seamed anything, and so the crochet seam worked really well for that. Put like a shell edge around that. And that was a good one. I can't really think of anything else. It's just I like my Hidefude. It's yeah. pretty impressive. It's not necessarily my, well, you know, and then there's also the Distract Me, the sweater that I made this spring. It fits really well, and I've gotten lots of compliments on it. It is very pretty. The Hidefude is too big for me, really. I think if I am tempted to make another one and make a smaller size. It fits, and it's fine. I mean, it's fine. It's very roomy, but it doesn't look like it's too big for me. It just doesn't. I know that it could fit better. But yeah, that's it. Okay, so not too long for having been
six weeks
and with these questions peppered in. Not going to make any promises on when the next one will be. It just depends. Like I've said, you know, it's been really busy. Katie's mojo waxes and wanes. Getting out here, it just depends. I did. I was talking to my husband today about, now that my kids don't live there anymore, the ambient noise is not as bad, so maybe we could start alternating, and that way you wouldn't be put out and have to clean every time we want to podcast. I needed to
clean, though.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, we can alternate.
Do you need an excuse to clean?
Yeah. So, tomorrow, that excuse is, and my daughter's birthday is this week, so we're having company on tomorrow, so. Anyway, we will talk to you within the next couple months, for sure. It will be before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I can mostly promise that. All right, y'all. Okay. Have a good time with your knitting.
Okay.
I just totally stole the yarn hoarders. Sorry, Amber.
Bye.